We're going to be reading out the 81st Psalm, if you'd want to turn there. So the 7th verse, it says, "Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah." And then, if you want to, well, we can just go ahead and continue on reading the 8th, 9th, and 10th verses. It says, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." Thought it was interesting. Here it said, "If thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange God." You know, we live in a community a lot of times that years ago that if you was to say you were one thing and do another, people would call you on it. They'd say, "Well, what are you saying? What are you doing? What are you saying? You do you believe this and you do something else." But today, because of the culture that we live in, it is just so popular from politicians on down. They say one thing and they'll do another. But we see here that if we hearken unto the Lord, it says, "There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God." There's been a distinction made here that not only will you not have a strange God in you, but you'll not be worshiping one. You know, just because you ain't worshiping one doesn't necessarily mean there ain't one in you. We can see in a progression in life how there are some people that have let those things in their heart that should not be there. And if they go unchecked, they'll find themselves doing those things that a Christian shouldn't be doing. You know, I'm afraid today there are some, because they're not doing these things, that as it were on the outward side, outside, people could look at and say, "Well, what's this one know? What's he doing this for?" That somehow they think that speaks of inside their heart. And I guess that it could if you watch a man long enough. As the world would look, and as the world would say, just as it was requested prayer for a man, that's an alcoholic. But yet, when one tried to witness to him, he said, "I'm not a bad person." I'm afraid today, so many people are messing themselves with themselves. So many people are like what we read there in Kings, where the two women were arguing amongst themselves because they come together to make a deal and say, "Well, we'll eat your son today, we'll eat my son tomorrow." We have a world today because the one mother, after she ate the son of her friend, she goes and she steals away and she hides her child. Listen to me. This is the danger of this world that we live in. When we measure ourselves with ourselves, because there have been those that argue, "Look at this woman. She's such a good mother because she's hit her child and not seen the deplorability, the depravity rather, that she was a cannibal, that she ate the flesh of a defenseless child. My God, my God." We got people today running to and fro saying, "I'm a good person," saying, "Surely I'll make it to heaven." We've lost the fact. The very simple thing that we should not have be worshiping a strange gods. But more importantly, we shouldn't be having strange gods in our heart. How do we keep from it? How we do, as the song says here, and open our mouth wide. I'm thankful that God's permitted
It's sufficient today. If you're hungry, if you like it, might it be that you put something in your heart? Ought not to be there. But if you open up your mouth wide, I want to tell you, God will fill it. We see so many struggling with those sins that will easily beset us. But I want to tell you, if you surrender to God, and if you call out to Him, and do as that little bird does, and open up your mouth wide, God will fill you. I like the picture that I get. We was feeding our son this morning. He has a habit. He can feed himself, but he has a habit before he's done. He'll take that plate and he'll put it on top of his head. So I was there feeding him so that he'd keep his food out of his hair for church. And I was telling him to open up his mouth when he first tasted the oatmeal. I believe it was it had little pieces of peaches in it. I think it was called peaches and cream oatmeal. As he got first tasted him. He opened his mouth really wide. My wife made me a sandwich. It was ready before the oatmeal was. I was eating it. And he crawled up in my lap. And he tasted some of that rye bread my mama fixed me. And I gave him a little pinch of egg and cheese. And he liked it. He wanted more of it. But my sandwich was all gone. So we set him there in his high chair, and I began to feed him. And when he tasted it, he opened his mouth wide, and he wanted more of it. But as he went on and he went on, he weren't opening his mouth so wide. I'm afraid because of the blessings of God, so many people in America have grown to be fat and discontent. We need to know, maybe from time to time, what it's like to do without. And then maybe we wouldn't be so discriminatory about what the Lord would send our way. I guess there was those down in Springfield this weekend that spent 30 hours out. They made themselves a cardboard house. And you know, it was kind of cold out there. Hadn't been as cold as it had been. But for 30 hours, they were trying to raise money for the homeless. And for 30 hours, they weren't going to eat nothing. And they was going to live out in this in these cardboard houses they had. They were talking there. And one thing I noticed, not knocking them, I'd say it would do us all well if we would maybe go out and stay in a cardboard shack for 30 hours without food. Maybe it kind of get us focused on what's important in life. They were talking to these college kids. I noticed one, she had an awful fancy winter coat on. I could see it. Bell, Colorado, at some ski lodge, and she looked warm. I ain't never seen no homeless person yet dressed as nice and as warm as she was. But I guarantee you, after spending 30 hours there without any food, she had a better understanding of what the homeless are experiencing. Listen, if we really seen ourselves as we were, and hunger, of starving for the things that we need from God, we will open our mouth up wide. But I'm afraid we're like the church spoke about in Revelation that thinks they're rich, thinks they're in need of nothing, and don't realize that they're wretched and poor. That if we could look in the mirror of God's Word, would there be a reason to wonder about whether we'd make it to the next meal? Well, listen here. It says, I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I thought that's interesting that the Lord chose to use those words. A secret place of thunder. Speaking about when he went on the mount, no doubt, when Moses did.
He went on that down. It was a place that God wanted to speak to the children of Israel there. Let the smoke come down. And that they weren't to come close to that mountain lest it would, unless they'd be slain. And the Lord began to speak because that was His desire. Did you know that? If you read there in Exodus, that it was the Lord's desire to have a personal relationship with the children of Israel. And He began to tell them His laws. And the children of Israel, because of the fire, because of the smoke, because of the creaking of the earth, they went to Noah, or to Moses rather. And they said, you need to intercede. You need to go talk to the Lord. We don't want to hear from Him unless we die. So that's what Moses did. But it was God's desire all alone. That's why He wanted to talk to them. That they might open up their mouth wide. That they would hear what He had to say. So they would not. But in the noise of it all, they were afraid. They were afraid. Why? Because it is a fearful thing to stand before an almighty God. He has a way, don't He, of showing us that we got things in our life that we shouldn't. I can remember as a young Christian that I was praying to the Lord. I had thoughts that I shouldn't have. And I thought it was interesting when I was just a young teenager. I don't know where I found them at first. I think we went to a yard sale. I can't remember where I got my first ones. Maybe it was at a library book sale. But I bought some paperback novels. It ain't just any novel you want to read. There's a lot of them that are full of lust. There's a lot of them that are full of all manner of sin. But I kind of like them westerns. There was a certain writer in particular, because some of them westerns are full of just that. A bunch of adultery and fornication. But this one man in particular, almost all of his books weren't that way. It was there'd be some love stories in there, but for the most part, it was what a boy ought to read, not about all the kissy-kissy, but about fighting Indians, about fighting people trying to take your land and whatnot, about the, as it were, just the epic western, and I'd read those things, but I'd read so many of them, that when troubles come to Daryl, that those things would come into my mind. Amongst others, and as I got older, there was other ungodly thoughts that came into my mind, and the Holy Spirit began to deal with me. And I can remember on my summer vacations, before I could pick up that that novel to read it, I'd been convicted that what Daryl needed to do was he needed to read his Bible. So I'd open up and I'd read a chapter out of the Bible, and then I'd read 10 chapters out of that novel. Listen, trash. You know, Jesus Christ said, He said, it ain't what enters in a man that defiles him, but what proceeds out of his mouth. Speaking about, as it were, those that would enter in his mouth physically. But when it comes to those things spiritually, it is those things that enter into our heart, that if they continue to enter in our heart and enter in our heart, they will leave our mouth. That's why we can't be putting in the trash of the world time and time again, and then think we're going to expound with godly wisdom when troubles come. Just as Darrell would read one chapter in the Bible and it did 12 chapters in a pennyback novel, a paperback western, when troubles would come, there was the thoughts the Holy Spirit communicated to me what I needed to do. And then there was those thoughts that come, as it were, natural and appeal to my flesh. And I'd war with those things, and I'd go to church, and I'd pray about certain things. I had a lot of hatred in my heart, and it was just fueled by a man's philosophies about what you do. I remember a song when I was an older teenager.
Don't get mad, get even. And you know, that is what the world teaches. But you know what? There is no stranger results or stranger events that take place when one attempts to get even. You know it never happens. There's no getting even. There's no getting even. Oh, and what one's life will soon look like when one attempts to do just that. Because in getting even, we become that other person, don't we? Just think for a little bit. You know, the Old Testament teaches about an eye for an eye. But let us think about it for a little bit in our culture. You know, I guess there's nothing more when it comes to, as it were, the feud. You'd hear somebody, you better watch them. They'll burn your barn. You know, that's to a lot of farmers, that brings fear in their heart. To be in the winter, having all your hay stored in the barn. We don't store hay in the barn, but if we had a barn, I guess we would. But anyhow, to store that hay in the barn and have that that she's going to need for the winter, and to have an enemy come and to burn the barn. Oh, I can hear some people say, talking about certain people, even 20 or 30 years ago, that so-and-so burned so-and-so's barn, and you could see it on the faces of people. Oh my, a man that would burn another man's barn ain't much of a man at all. But if we follow out the whole idea of getting even, you know, there's a lot of people that say, yeah, but he burned my barn, but I burned his. There would be a group within a congregation, within a segment of the population, I said that man deserved it. After all, he burned another man's barn. And I can step aside and be separated from it all, and I might say just that. Well, he deserved it. After all, he burned so-and-so's barn. But let's look at it on a personal level. If somebody would burn my barn, it all disgrace that comes upon a person that would do that. I would have the opinion or that I would think that I'm going to get even. What does that make me? It makes me a barn burner. It makes me as that other person. So when God's children attempt to get even, what they end up doing is descending down to the devil and his children. Position there at the gates of hell. But God's children know a better way. God's children, as it were, can go to that place, that secret place of thunder, that when God, when you come to your wits' end and you don't know what to do, go to that secret place and God will show himself in a mighty way. As he has for so many Christians that have walked this earth. And you know, sometimes we would like to think that God's going to work in a way that would communicate to our enemies that we are his children and that he is a mighty God. And that we are not to be trifled with or messed with. But that's not the workings of the Lord a lot of times. Though sometimes it is. For we see where a loving Father let his Holy Son die on the cross. Not because Jesus Christ made a mistake and was in a position or a place that he shouldn't have been in. And not because Jesus Christ did not obey him fully and was living a life of disobedience and found himself in a position that if he would have listened to the counsel of God, he would have not been there. But we see a holy Father who allowed his son to die because it was his will.
so that us here, that all of mankind might have peace. If God the Father would do that to His only begotten Son, oh, what would He ask of us? We live in a culture where so many people have come to Jesus with an understanding that they have come to Him so that they might have an easy life. And if we get the scales off our eyes, we can truly say that it will be an easier life. But in this easy life that we live for Christ Jesus are hard decisions that must be made. That are decisions that have consequences. So we got a letter in the mail this week from China. And I was thinking that we didn't know what was in it. But we was coming home and we have quite a few people, a lot of months. China is the number one nation of all the foreign nations to listen to our broadcast. Didn't know what was in the letter. I said to myself, Daryl, are you willing to go to China? You willing maybe to not only go to a third world country? And we've been to India, but the church is much more severely persecuted in China. Are you willing to go there and sit in prison? Because I would have you do as Paul and speak to the keeper of that prison. Are you willing to do that? You know, I don't think there's any Christian that wouldn't be willing to leave for a couple weeks. Or maybe even a month. But I've got four youngins. And I thought, well, Lord, I'd really like to see my children grow up. But God, if you want me to go over there, then I might be able to see souls saved. God, I want to open my mouth wide. And you know, the letter had something to do with something entirely different. It wasn't someone that listened to our broadcast. But you know, it spoke to me. And in that particular instance, it spoke to me. Did Daryl have an idol, as it were, a strange god, somewhere in the corner of his heart that he was unwilling to let go of? Do you remember? Oh, when one of the patriarchs went and he worked, you know which one I'm talking about. He worked for a woman. And her father done him dirty and gave him her sister, this girl's sister. And he worked. You know, as we read this, a lot of times as Christians we think, man, she must have really been special. She must have been a godly woman. But we find that when they left, she took her father's idol and she hid it. Can you imagine serving a God you got to sit on? That's what she did, didn't she? She sat on it. Because her husband, he didn't know who she was, did he? After working so long and hard for her. You know, he wasn't too happy when he got her older sister. And you know, I'm just speaking tongue in cheek, but maybe he thought her older sister took him. As he said, you just kill whoever took you. Yeah. I'm sure he would have never suspected the woman that he worked double time for would have been the one that took it. And what kind of God was it? It was a God she had to sit on. Now, there's a lot of church people that go to church today. And the God they're serving is a God they have to hide. Is a God that they are afraid somebody might find out. Well, that's not the God I'm serving. The God I'm serving is the one that you put first and foremost in your life. The Bible teaches us that if we would lift Him up, He'll draw all men. His drawing power is the same today as it's ever been. It's just the church. But for whatever reason, is it the lack of examples in our community within the church? I don't know. But for whatever reasons, and think that we'll be more effective if we're not, if we're spies and not ambassadors. Let's get some song to sing. Do you have a secret place? A secret place to thunder. You know, if it thunders very often when you get in that secret place, it won't be secret for long, will it? But you know what the Lord has blessed us with. He don't want us to hide under a bushel, no how. But He wants us to communicate to the world just how wonderful He is. Because thou shalt not worship any strange god. Do you think that somehow you have no strange god, as it says, in thee? I'm thankful for certain instances. Me and my wife, you know, we had a good laugh about that letter because we thought it was somebody that had something to do with the internet, the website. But I'm going to tell you, when I was on my way home, I was asking Daryl a lot of serious questions about what Daryl valued in life and what Daryl was willing to do for the Lord. And I'm glad for that time. Next time I won't probably be so quick to ask them questions until I read the letter. But I'm thankful that things all happened like they did. Because it is the events in our life sometimes that reveals what's really in our heart, doesn't it? And an easy life would never show us what we need as when the hard times come. It seems as if there's a condition that's a very serious condition that's in the churches of my generation. Where the Word of God says here, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. It seems as if so many church-going folk got their mouths wired shut. But what the Lord would have us to eat is not something we can suck through a straw. That what He has for us and what He has provided for us is much more than we would ever need. But that which we do need, we must open our mouth wide for, that the Lord might supply our needs, that He might supply for us today what we'll need tomorrow.